I'm so glad that you're here. My name is Steve Greenwood. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and I've spent the last 30-something years working with kids and students and families, marriages, and the Lord has, I feel like He's placed a call on my life to be a connector, to help people understand that there is something out there that we need as parents, that we need as family members, that we need as church leaders, that sometimes I feel like maybe we miss it some in our church. I had the privilege of serving with Pastor Rob for almost 14 years, and we had a wonderful church. Wonderful things were happening, but it was always a struggle to do what this topic is about, and that is partnering with parents. So we'll jump into this here with a prayer, if you don't mind, and we'll just kind of go through this together. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here in this room in Birmingham, Alabama this morning. Lord, thank you for all of these folks that are here, leaders, parents, grandparents, pastors, volunteers. Lord, thank you for what they are doing to try to pursue you, to try to pursue what you want from each one of us, Lord, which was submission to your authority over our lives. And Lord, that extends to everything, to our marriages, to our parenting, to the kids that we have in our home, to the kids we work with at church. And really, Lord, this applies to everyone. We need to submit ourselves to you. And I pray that you would help us be able to do that better and better as time goes by. And I pray that you'd help us to all be like mouthpieces for you, Lord, to call people to a deeper, more trusting relationship with you. Lord, your way is the best way. Your plan is the best plan. Lord, help us to be effective at helping other people find that too. Lord, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, because most of my time has been working with children, this will have kind of that flavor to it. But I do believe there are ways to apply these particular things to working with people who are in any stage of life with their kids, even people who have young adult kids, which I just see one of my young adult kids is in the room here. Hello, Andy Greenwood. And she loves me that I just singled her out. So. But she's awesome, and I'm so glad that she's here too. So, well, you might wonder occasionally, like I did, if the time that you're spending teaching lessons and doing things at church, you might wonder, what is something that could help this go to the next level? What is something I could do to improve? How do I make this more lasting? I think everyone that preaches, teaches, leads, volunteers, I think we all want to know that what we're doing has the greatest chance to be the highest level of effectiveness possible. None of us show up and are like, well, you know, whatever. If it happens, it happens. Well, maybe sometimes we are. We have rough nights sometime, right? But we don't show up typically that way. We want what we teach, what we talk about with kids, teenagers, other people, we want that to have effectiveness. And for this, I think we want to look at the possibility of what it looks like whenever we really make a priority for partnering with parents. And I personally think one of the biggest things that we can do in our church ministries as church leaders or as parents in the kids ministry and the teen ministry is to take it to another level to make sure that we're truly helping parents prioritize the faith of their children. And that has an effect on how we begin to do ministry. So that's what we're going to talk about here. We're going to talk about five different priorities for partnering with parents. And I would just love to start with with a couple of just overarching statements here. And that is, the first one of these is that discipleship is something that we know we're supposed to be, right? And we're supposed to grow in that. Unfortunately, a lot of people only spend time working on their discipleship when they're in the pew, when they're at church, when they're in their Sunday school class. And that's kind of a problem. But when it comes to partnering with parents, we have to get away from the idea that a lot of parents have that, well, discipleship is something that we do at church. Like, here's my kids, here's my teenager, you know, train them, teach them, show them the Bible, let them see what they need to do in order to be a disciple. Well, that is good, and you can have a Sunday program and a Wednesday program that just knocks the ball out of the park. The crowd goes wild. You can have that 10 out of 10, 5 stars, everything. But unfortunately, if the parents aren't involved, then that's going to kind of fall flat. The chances are, because there's just not enough time in that little bit that we have with them at church. So we have to help parents begin to see that discipleship is not an activity where the experts at church take care of that for us. And we pick them up and our kids are all shiny and wonderful and ready to go for life, right? That's not the way it works. We are all in this together. And that was not meant to be a Disney theme song. but anyway, we are all in this together. All of life is all for Jesus. Everything we do has an impact. Whether you know it or not, you are leading everywhere you go. Now the question becomes, how are we leading? Are we on social media like blasting someone because we think we're right? You know, that's leading. Do we approach people that maybe we disagree with in a less than humble way? That's leading, right? And we can teach others. To every single interaction that we have is leadership. And that's really what we're trying to help our kids and teenagers develop, is to develop into good leaders. We're all in this together. It's not supposed to be just a time where we come in, we get full, and hopefully that tank will still have something in it when we get back to Sunday. We need everyone, kids, teens, parents, grandparents, everyone, to realize it's church plus home. We should, if we're church leaders, we should do our very best to just absolutely crush it and do so good at church with everything. Everything should have an excellence to it. Nothing should be like one of these Saturday night specials, you know, where you're like, well, I got to talk tomorrow. I guess I better figure this out. Nothing like that. We have to bring excellence to this, because we want to make sure that what we give to parents, what we give to kids and to students, we want to give them something that is worth eating, worth having in our spiritual life. And so I think this whole priority of partnering with parents is really, really important, because most kids and most teenagers, probably I would say too, they're not yet equipped with the awareness that they need to do something different. Okay, for instance, let's just talk about taxes. If you do your taxes and you've never had to pay anything in because you just had your whatever was set up the right way, the first time you ever end up with a tax bill, you're like, whoa, 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 let me really pay attention here. I don't want to pay anything in. Well, the same thing is true for kids. Well, it's not really the same thing, but what I'm saying is you begin to act in a different way. Your experiences inform what you're going to do going forward. Well, our kids and our teenagers, they don't have that kind of experience yet to move them along. So we need to realize that partnering with parents is something that's very, very important. And I just want to kind of give you this question here. Let me see if I got this right here. Yeah, okay, why worry? All right, when it comes to partnering with parents, why should we worry about it? Isn't the Bible enough? Isn't the gospel that we preach enough? Yes, the Bible is enough. God is enough. But show me someone that doesn't have any spiritual activity away from church, and I'll show you probably an immature Christian, a baby Christian, still feeding on mostly the milk, you know? Not in every case, but in many cases. But I want you to understand, as we think about this, just to kind of create a little bit of tension to help us understand, to really lock into the fact that this is an issue that we really should be paying attention. So why worry? First of all, very few kids will grow beyond cultural Christianity without godly parental involvement. So what do you think? Let's just have a little crowd participation. What do you think it means whenever I say cultural Christianity? What is a characteristic of someone who is just a cultural Christian? Anyone? Church on Sundays. Good. Church. Oh man, we're going even. Wow. Yeah. Those Easter Christmas ones. Maybe Mother's Day too, right? Three out of 52. I mean, come on, that's not bad, right? What else? Cultural Christianity. What else is a highlight of someone with that viewpoint?
Praying over food.
Say it again.
Praying over food.
Okay, praying over food. Yep. Yeah, that's it. That's right. That's good. All right. Yep. So parents, parents that are cultural Christians, these are people that show up. You see them every week or most of the time. We'll talk about that in just a second. But you see them often. They're in. Hey, brother, how you doing? Hey, sister, you doing good? Yes, God is so good. But they're not spending any time with God. They're under the preaching and teaching of your pastor or maybe the Sunday school teacher, but they go away from there and they don't do another thing spiritually the rest of the week. And when they interact with someone at work that talks about, oh, well, you know, I think this reverse on Roe v. Wade is terrible. And they just stand there because they don't know how to really talk about it in a godly way. They're glad that it's been overturned, like me, right? And I know you are too. But at the same time, they're not equipped to talk about it. And what about if they're in their home with their teenage kids and their teenage kids are talking about, I think this is a terrible thing. If they're cultural Christians, they aren't in their Bible. They're not learning from the Lord. They're not going deeper with Him. They're not drawing near to Him and beginning to grow in that. You know, Psalm 37:4 is one of my favorite verses. And it says, delight yourself in the Lord. You know the rest? And He will give you the desires of your heart. Whenever you begin to move beyond cultural Christianity, you begin to delight yourself in the Lord. You begin to study His Word. You begin to take notes on it. You begin to meditate on it as you're going through the day. It begins to transform you, like Romans 12:1-2 tells us, that we need to be transformed. Cultural Christianity is not enough for our kids and our teenagers. We need parents who will go beyond that. Excuse me. So, you know, I got the why worried here, and there's a number there, 20%. Do you know some of the latest statistics tell us that only 20% of evangelical Christians do any spiritual activity away from church? 2 out of 10. Is there any wonder that some of these bad things are creeping into our churches? They're cultural Christians. And that's hard to say to someone. That's hard to be like, hey, your kids are going wrong at age 15 because at age 5, you decided, I'm going to pick and choose what I can accept from God's Word. Man. And now they're sad, right? We all have seen people like that. Their kids were cute. They were wonderful. But they never really got shut down. They never really got redirected. They never got taught to do some right things. And that comes later. Those benefits, those curses come later whenever we haven't taken the time to train and disciple our kids. All right. So the next one, another reason why we should worry is that there's a real epidemic of spiritual starvation. Just talked about that 20% number of how few people actually do anything away from church in a spiritual way. Now, I'm not talking about mealtime prayers or bedtime prayers, you know, but I'm talking about like really, really reading the Bible, studying the Bible, talking with our kids about the Bible, letting the Bible and His Word and what He wants us to do be a part of the natural rhythm of your family. Too many people are just, they'll talk about church on the way to church, at church, or on the way home from church. And that's really the only time it comes up. We have to help parents make talking about Jesus a regular thing, talking about the Bible being a regular thing. Well, what does this mean, spiritual starvation? I mentioned this a minute ago with the 20% stat. This is kind of crazy, right? You've got 168 hours in 1 week. And if you have people show up for maybe 2 hours, out of that week, that leaves 166. That was good, quick math. 168 minus 2, yeah, 166. And 166 hours that they are going to be away from the church. Now, sure, they're going to be sleeping at some of that time. But if let's just, this is something that I think about all the time because clearly I enjoy food. But if I was going to eat lunch today after this session, and then I'm not going to eat again till next Monday at 11 a.m., how hungry would I be? How starved would I be, right? Well, whenever it comes to spiritual things, our spiritual life requires more than one meal or two meals in a week. We all, every one of us, from leaders on down, every single person needs to learn how to spend time with God on a daily basis. Now, we don't have to all be, one of these people like you hear of. They study the Bible 4 or 5 hours a day, and they rose at 4 a.m. and memorized scripture until 6:30 and took a little tea and then studied the Bible till, 12 noon or whatever. We don't all have that kind of time, but we all do make time for what we really think is important. And as church leaders and as parents, grandparents, whatever we may be, we have to help our kids, our grandkids, the people that we are teaching, we have to help them avoid spiritual starvation. And this is where really the whole partnering with parent thing comes in, because did you know, if you did some stats on churches, particular churches, yours, mine, whatever, and you just kind of marked what the average attendance is, most churches, 75% of people only attend twice a month. 75%. You've probably seen some of that. They're off to the lake, their kids are playing ball, they're doing this. Oh, well, we had this vacation planned, or we did this. And before you know it, you've only been there twice a month. So now we're not talking 2 hours out of 168, we're talking about 2 hours out of 336 hours. It's not enough. And so is it any wonder that there's spiritual starvation? So why worry? Well, we need to make sure that we understand spiritual starvation is real, all right? So here's another thing to kind of set the stage for us. Here's another reason why we need parents to be beyond cultural Christianity and to be godly examples for their kids at every age, at every age. You know as well as I do that there's one type of parenting when your kids are really, really small. There's another type of parenting whenever they hit, double digits and they go into their teenage years. And there's still parenting involvement that needs to be there no matter what their age is. Like our kids, Andy here is one of those, and she's one of three lovely daughters. So she's going to be 22 soon. And I have a almost 24-year-old and a 28-year-old. My wife and I, we are not done parenting. You don't take your hands off the wheel once they become adults and be like, well, hope they make it. It's just like when they were little, but you just have to realize that things change. But we need to be involved because, this third reason, because popular culture is tearing down biblical worldview. I don't have to tell you that, right? You know it. Everything on earth is tolerated except for Jesus. Right. And a Bible world, a biblical worldview. But I'm telling you, the most incredible thing that any person can have, especially our kids, when they're in that young, impressionable time of life, is to start to develop a biblical worldview. That God's word is true, that God is eternal, that He is love, but He is also justice and holiness and righteousness. a belief that the devil and the powers of evil are real. The belief that God created male and female. And he didn't say, but if you decide you want to be something else for a couple of years, that's fine. He didn't say that. God created them male and female, and He put them together. He shows us what marriage is supposed to be like. Yeah. These are parts of a biblical worldview. And throughout our churches, because of spiritual starvation, because of the popular culture that people are faced with 24/7 outside of the time they're spending in the Bible or at church. And, sometimes we may unwittingly even share something at church that maybe tears down some of that. But we need to realize that everything is turning them against having a biblical worldview. So it's so important as kids, as students, for us to continue to pour into them and to help parents take steps to grow so we can fight against that. But, okay, so hopefully that gives you enough to go like, okay, wow, wow, wow. Yeah, this is really a problem. No matter where you live, cultural Christianity, spiritual starvation, people having issues remembering how to have a biblical worldview, that is happening everywhere. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, powers of darkness, against establishment, all of this stuff. We are fighting against that. It is a spiritual battle, and it is underway for every single soul. And we have to do our best when they're at church, and we have to do our best to help get parents ready. But how do we actually do this? How do we actually come alongside parents to help their kids grow into the spiritual champions, to the disciples of Jesus that we believe God has created them to be? All right, so we're going to look at a few foundational priorities. There's just five here, and like I told you, if you just watch Pastor Robert Morgan, mine, I'm going to be a lot more simple than him, all right? But we're going to have a good time because practical, simple steps, honestly, that's what 95% of people need, right? We need to be reminded that the simple things are what we may be neglecting to do. So first of all, first way to prioritize partnering with parents is to do this, pray for parents. Now, you might look at that and go, okay, he had four, he wanted five, so he threw in pray, right? That's not true. We can never, ever, ever underestimate the power of prayer.
That's right.
We can never underestimate that. I gotta tell you, this summer I've had the opportunity to do a couple of church camps, and it's just been so, so great. Mark was at one I got to do in Virginia. On the way home from Virginia, it was a beautiful morning. My drive back was great, but I just felt this heaviness over me. And I realized that I've been so busy all this week, I really hadn't just slowed down and just listened to God, talked to Him. So I turned off the radio. I had my windows open because my air don't work, but it was loud. But I just started going down the road in silence. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10, right? Sometimes that's, you feel that. You feel His presence. You feel His touch. And I just began to pray. I was praying for everything I could think of. I was going to Him with stuff I was grateful for, things that maybe are causing me, a little mental anguish or anxiety. And I was just trying to just connect to Him. And I have to tell you, coming down out of the mountains of Western Virginia, I just felt God's Holy Spirit just wash over me and just give me such peace. And I was so thankful for that, but it was such a reminder that you don't just go through our days like sending quick little text messages to God, like, God, boy, I need you right now, please help me. You know, you're in the drive-thru line and you're 20 minutes from work and you're still four cars back, you know. So it's like, it's not that kind of prayer. And it's not the kind of prayer if you're a church leader where you're like, Lord, please send me more workers. I gotta have more workers, like now, please. You know, it's not that kind of prayer. It's a prayer of intercession for parents. It's making a list of the people in your church and just working through it, praying for them and talking to God about their spiritual needs, talking to him about the way that they are parenting, the things that their kids are going to be experiencing. It is so important. Kids ministry leaders, student ministry leaders, pastors, you get so busy doing ministry, working hard, doing good things for Jesus that sometimes we can forget to remember that prayer is so important. But God he has you in a position for you to be able to intercede for them. If you're a pastor, a leader, a ministry leader, or if you're just a parent, you have unique information, insider information about people that can inform your prayer life. And you have got to make that a priority. If you want to partner with parents, they need to know that you are praying for them, that they will pastor their own families. You have a pastor in your church, so understand what I'm saying. Not capital P, but God has commissioned every dad to be the head of his household. And that doesn't make him better than his wife, but God said it's God the Father, God the Son, the head of the household, and the wife, and it all works together in a beautiful relationship. And that God has called dads to pastor their homes. God has called moms to help pastor their homes. This is something that we need to share that vision. We need to help parents know in gentle, gracious ways that it's not enough just to drop them in at church. We're glad to see you. We're going to do this so well. But we want you to know that we're praying that God's Spirit will speak to you all throughout the week so that you will open up God's Word, so that you will spend time talking with your kids about who the Lord is and what He wants. You can have this effect on parents, and it is powerful. And I hope that you will make that a priority. Okay, number two. Excuse me, I'm going to clear my throat here. We want to encourage them. Encourage them. Every single week when you are at church, you can make a priority yourself of speaking to as many parents as possible. You can let them know that you're praying for them and their kids or their teenagers. You can let them know that you're praying for their adult children. Because, you know, if you just watch Facebook for very long, people put it out there, right? You need to have that radar up so that you are constantly able to speak into them and know that you're not interested in them just knowing, hey, I see you're here at church. Good job. High five. How's everything going? Great. And nothing else, right? Encourage them. Let them know that you are regularly praying for them and their kids. And then communicate with parents also, with them, how they can pray for their kids of whatever age that may be. Communicate to them that they can trust in God and have His support to lead their families. Let them know that you understand faith at home activities can be difficult, but the payoff is totally worth it. Encourage parents to keep trying to lead, even if it seems awkward or if kids don't like it. And again, this always starts with dads. If they're there, dads are where it starts. And I believe that the biggest revival in our country, in our churches, would come if dads would give their hearts wholly to Jesus. And they would submit themselves and everything about their life to His authority. Man, that's a tough nut to crack sometime. But you just got to keep encouraging them. Develop those relationships, men, so that you can have those direct conversations. Keep it simple, man. It's like you're either going to go God's way or you're going to go your own way. And your family's going to follow you. Go God's way. That's what we want to encourage them to do. Faith at home activities, taking time to say, okay, let's turn the TV off, or let's turn off the social media, and let's get together for a few minutes to read the Bible and pray together. That's hard to do. It changes what's going on in your home sometime if that's not been the regular rhythm. But parents can be encouraged to make progress like this. And maybe start with just a couple of nights a week where they make this a priority. And then develop it more and more into something that maybe can happen daily. Or teach them, encourage them to just take advantage of those moments that we read about as you walk along the road, as you sit down, as you lie down. It's more than just throwaway prayers almost of thank you, Lord, for this food, and now I lay me down to sleep. That's not a throwaway prayer. I shouldn't have said that. Just strike that from the record, okay? God is listening, and He appreciates any of our communication. But we need to go further than that, right? We need to go further than that. You know, a lot of kids, when they're little, they don't like to brush their teeth. But do you know many parents that will say, oh, okay, well, if your teeth rot out, well, maybe some of them do actually, I guess, right? But they work hard. They keep coming back to their kids and being like, no, get in there. Okay, and you hear it go, like three seconds of activity, and you're like, that's not enough. They know most parents will take the time to help their kids make sure they develop those good oral hygiene habits. Whenever, you know, they hit that puberty and they need some deodorant, you know, parents will teach them to do that and not just cover it up with Axe body spray. Yikes. Listen, if you've been at camp in a cabin full of like 10 to 12 year old boys and all of them are using Axe, that is not... They could put our military in one of those rooms, you know, without a gas mask and see how long they can handle it. So, but it is rough. It can be really, really rough. But the whole point of this is we need to encourage them to understand how much more important the spiritual development, the discipleship of their kids are than anything else they can teach them. Their kids might want to be a doctor, and that's fantastic, but if they grow up and they become a doctor and a surgeon or whatever and save physical lives, but they don't know Jesus, I think those parents are going to end up believing that they have failed. Because the most important thing we can have is Jesus. We have our relationship with Him right. Everything else flows from that. Parents need to be made aware of that. So we can pray for them, we can encourage them, and then we can equip them. Equip them. I was afraid I said it before, maybe number four. Anyway, but we've got to assume for a moment that parents are trying to teach their kids how to do something simple, like let's say fishing. Okay, if you had a parent that wanted to teach their kid how to go fishing, if they have zero fishing equipment, how likely is it that their kid's going to learn how to fish, right? That's something that a lot of dads and moms really enjoy doing together. They go out and they go do some fishing. But if you want to teach someone how to do that and you have no equipment and no experience, you're not going to be able to teach them very well. Well, the same thing can be in effect for this topic of discipleship and training their kids. Dads and moms usually have Bibles, right? We've got stacks of Bibles in our houses. And the Bible is the number one place to start helping kids learn how to love the Lord. And there are literally hundreds of reading plans, devotions, helpful tools and resources that are available. And now on the internet, you can find those things anywhere. But again, sometimes parents need some help from someone to say, hey, try this one. Try this book. Try this app. Try this reading plan. Do this. And they just need some help getting pointed in the right direction. Because no one can do it for them, but they can be overwhelmed by all of the things that are available. But I want to encourage you to just become an expert on the tools that are made for parents to help their kids and students grow closer to Jesus at home. It's not that we're saying church doesn't matter, because it really, really does. If we're not doing a good job at church, then they're not gonna want to go any further, right? This is a good starting point. This is where things happen. You know, a lot of people, when they accept Jesus, they think, okay, now I've done it. I'm going to heaven. And so they've checked that box off like they've crossed the finish line of something. But really, whenever we accept Jesus and we begin to obey him, that's just the beginning of something. And that's something that parents need help learning about. So take time to equip them and give them ideas of tools, but also take some time. Maybe if you're a pastor or if you're a leader of some kind in the church, take some time to demonstrate what it could look like. Have a little reenactment of someone doing a simple Bible time. Give some time in the Sunday morning service to help people understand, take away some of the, I don't know how to do this. Give some time to actually demonstrate it. If you're willing to do it, throw up a tripod and get some people sitting down and do a little quick video. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just take away the idea from people that, oh, this is too hard. I'm not trained as a Bible teacher. I'm not trained as a pastor. How can I be the one that's entrusted with this? Well, they are entrusted with it. God has said so, right? So we have to take those things away. Remove roadblocks. Remove like false views. Give them ideas of how they can be successful in doing this and helping to lead their kids. All right. And then fourth one is they need to be challenged. Parents need to be challenged. Remember, your church, if you're here and you're a ministry leader of any kind, you've been entrusted with something very important. If you're over a kids ministry or over a teen ministry, You are a bastion, right? You're a fortress that you need to be solid. You need to be completely understanding of the fact that you've been entrusted with something to handle, to lead, and to grow. And so don't sit back and just allow time to pass. You are in a position, even if you're young, you're in a position to challenge people's thinking. To graciously point out to them what God's standard is, not what our standard is, or, hey, I know you're tired, so, okay, you don't have to do this, okay? We need to challenge parents. We need to let them know hard things sometimes. Sometimes a parent that you may speak to, you may simply have to say, your kids are not growing because they've caught up with where you are spiritually. I can't tell you the number of times I've had parents come to me and say, will you talk to my kid about accepting Jesus? Will you talk to my kid about being baptized? I don't think I can do it. I hate to hear that because they need to see their parents work through these things. And those parents may have been saved, but the fact that they didn't feel equipped enough to talk with their kids about that topic is a warning sign to me that they really haven't grown very far. And you can never lead anyone that you haven't been yourself. So we have to constantly challenge parents to see how important the partnering aspect between church and home is for discipleship. But we also have to challenge them to make sure that they are pursuing God themselves. We have there's a phrase in kids ministry leading that has been something that I've talked about a lot of times and I've experienced it. But you cannot pour out of an empty bucket. Unless you are filled and overflowing with what God is doing in your own life, you can't have the impact even on your own children in your own home, much less groups of kids and teenagers. So we have to be feeding on God's word. We have to be drawing near to Christ so he's drawing near to us. We have to be resisting the devil so that he will flee. And so do these parents. We need to be doing it, and we need to challenge parents to be doing it, whatever the kids' ages are. So make sure you equip yourself with popular family, like family ministry passages like Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7, Psalm 78. Those are two really, really good ones. We need the parents to continually see a biblical vision for the role that they get to play. There are simply things that won't happen just through what's going on in our church. Parental involvement is so important. So, we've got one more here. And the fifth one is this. Repeat what is excellent. Your church is different from any other church in the country. You may even be, you know, 2 miles from another church, and it's Free Will Baptist, and everybody's, you know, similar size, similar programs, but every single church has a unique DNA, a unique set of circumstances, and certain things may hit harder for you than just 2 miles down the road. And it's not about what keeping up with what every other church is doing. It's about searching for things and continuing to put stuff out there and learning what works for your church, learning what works for your parents. And when you find those things, hammer it. Stay on it. Don't quit doing it. You know, there's the repetition is something that's really, really good in lots of different ways. Okay, so speaking of repetition, I'll just give you a quick example. I generally try to fix our cars. And I've learned over time how to do several things. When I was 22, I finally started to realize that my dad knew a whole lot of stuff that I should have been paying attention. Well, I was married, and the first kid was on the way soon after that, but he taught me how to change the oil. He taught me how to change the brakes. And I was, especially when it came to brakes, I was like, oh, this, okay, I can do this. Now, every car's a little bit different, but the principles are the same. So over the years, I've changed our brakes. And reps are what you need to get good at that. Well, it came to be that my middle daughter needed to have her brakes done because, it's grinding. So, you know, it's time, right? It's way past time. The little chirp that you hear, that's like the signal you need to do it. But it was like, okay, time to go to AutoZone. So I get to AutoZone, get the stuff, and I'm like, bam, jacked up, jack stands. Boy, we're going, you know, we're taking wheels off. We put the brake pads on the new one, on the driver's side. We put the tire on, just kind of hand tighten. We go to the other side, and we take that tire. We do that. Man, we get it all torqued down. Man, we're ready to go. I come back to the driver's side, and I see brake fluid on the ground. And I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on? So I'm looking. Everything's good, right? So I hand my daughter the keys, and off she goes with hand-tightened lug nuts on the driver's side. She drives out to Welch College. And she's not really very communicative. She won't tell me until something happens, right? So she would have realized that there was something going on, and she did. She calls me, and she's like, Dad, I have a terrible noise. I'm on Vietnam Vets Expressway where cars are going 80 miles an hour, and it's like my is shaking. And then the wheel just came off while she's doing like 50 miles an hour. And I'm like, okay. And so she was able to get it to the side, and everything was good, you know, and except for the rotor, you know, it's kind of flat on one side. It wasn't going to work anymore. So I got it towed home, and I started reviewing the game film in my head, because as soon as she said it was her driver's side, I went, I'm not sure I ever tied those things down. And the fact was, I hadn't done any brake jobs on our cars for a few years. I haven't had enough reps to make sure that I remembered all. I mean, I knew those things to do, but yet when I saw the fluid, I got sidetracked and I didn't complete the job. And it's just a reminder that we need to repeat the things that are good to do, or we will forget them. It's not enough to just say, okay, we're going to memorize a verse of scripture, and that one verse of scripture, that's going to carry us. You know, it's good to have scripture in your brain. It's good to spend time with that. But we want to help families, parents, learn how to make that a regular occurrence so they get the repetitions in, so that they can begin to do daily things where the Bible and Jesus and the gospel become regular parts of their conversation. I truly believe that in every one of our homes, if we had the attitude that all of life is all for Jesus, it would change this world from the inside of our families outward. That's where it starts. If we want to see the Great Commission really be achieved to the greatest level, it would take families coming together, spending time, growing, moms, dads, kids, grandparents, whole communities then, after that, coming together with the ideas that God wants us to have in our brains, He wants us to spend our time on. But it takes that work away from church. It takes daily effort. It takes repetitions. So whenever you're planning things at your church and you think of something that you want to do for families to encourage them to do things at home, you apply this too. Find the things that really helped moms and dads, whether it's a new look at a men's ministry or new look at women's ministry or marriage ministry, whatever you think it could be, try several things. This idea that, oh, well, we tried it and it failed, so I'm not going to ever try anything again, that's bogus. Failing at something simply shows you a wrong way to do it. Keep trying. The next really cool thing may be on the other side of three or four tries that didn't quite work. But every time you try something, if it doesn't work just right, then you can make notes on that. And you can be like, okay, well, we tried this. That part of it was actually really cool. We did this and this many people showed up. So we're doing something right there. So you take what worked and then you add something new to it and you keep building on it and you try to create something that hits home. And when you find it, repeat it. Repeat what is excellent. And just as we close here, I just want to remind y'all that the goal is not about our churches reaching 200 or 300 or 500 or 1,000 or whatever the number is. It's not about the numbers. It's not about any leader being thought of as, oh man, they're so, it's not about us. It's not about the leaders in a church. It's about Jesus. It's about the gospel. It's about people, individuals, submitting their hearts and minds to Jesus and beginning to live their life from that place. He changes us completely. He changes us from the inside out, and he makes great things come from our obedience. But those great things, they're not ours to put up as trophies on our personal trophy case. We have to have the idea that if there's something great that comes out of this, all glory goes to God. It is all His. Anything good that happens, I've said this after events. Hey, if there was anything good that you loved about this, it all belongs to Jesus, right? But if there was something that needed a little help, let's talk, because that's on me. You know what? We need to have that perspective that it is all about advancing the kingdom. It's all about helping people grow in their relationship with Jesus. It's never about the name on the building. It's never about the name of a pastor, preacher, teacher, leader, volunteer. That's not it. If you're fed by that, if that's your goal, then we're gonna come up short. So let's just work to realize that home church partnership is something that we have to continue to develop. And that takes doing things at your church that don't have anything to do with Sundays and Wednesdays. But it's important, and I hope that you will take some time. So from these priorities, which I will grant you, I will tell you again, these are simple things. It's not rocket science. But to be able to do these things, to pray for parents, to encourage parents, to equip parents, to challenge parents, and then repeat what is excellent, I think that is a simple approach that any church can do. I think any leader can be a part of that.